me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
What did you say, nigga?
That's right. I try to get that shit right, you know. Try to get that shit right on time. What's poppin', y'all? Konnichiwa. You know, I've been getting, this is Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a. Nestorius. You know what I'm saying? The glorious in honor of Simon Kaufman. You know, pit pop, you don't stop. Take it. Earlobes and put them on your ass hawk. I can't fuck with Simon's shit. Simon's out of control. And in front of me is my main man, Richanovich's Corbin. What's going on, brother?
What's up, everybody? I was just converted, so you know, yeah, I gotta fill Simon's place, you know.
You were just converted into Judaism. Judaism. Yeah. Simon may be calling in a little later.
We can't do the show without Simon.
No.
Come on.
He's
you got to have a touch of the Simonsky. We got to Simonize the show.
Simonize,
you know what I'm saying?
Show. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Simon's in Seattle. He's about to do a show, but I ran into a topic that was just so fucking disturbing to me, and I figured, man, Simon's the one who's got to talk about this shit. But it's basically, it's about herpes cases. What do you call it? Being kind of found in babies that get circumcised by I think they're called mohels, mm-hmm. which are either rabbis or you know, rabbi doctors or people who are kind of you know, versed in both. The religious practice of circumcision in the Hebrew, in the Jewish religion.
And not a lot of caffeine in that. You shouldn't be drinking a lot of caffeine if you're a mohel. Yeah, a mohel. You don't want to do a lot of caffeine or not. Red Bull is completely off the table. You can't. You know.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
you're gonna get a lot of sleep. You want all your faculties. Parkinson's is not a disease that you can have when you do that.
Exactly. Exactly. You could drink caffeine to be fucking hyper focused and precise. You know, you just don't want to be drinking it as you're doing it. You know what I mean? Parkinson's is what you don't want to have. But anyway, these guys.
For anything.
Apparently, a lot of states have passed regulations as to, you know, procedures and how they have to be done and all that other shit.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys are saying, no, that's an infringement on our religious beliefs. And we're not adhering to any state or government, authorized.
Procedures. Like
Supervision government inflicted fucking rules and regulations.
Right.
So this is the procedure, dude. It's called, what is it called? Metsitsa Bepa. I don't even know how to fucking pronounce it. So I was hoping that
Simon, call in. Where the hell are you, man?
He's probably fucking eating meatballs. But I'm just, when he calls in, I'm just setting this up. So when he calls in, we already have the information. Metsitsa Bepa is the ritual. And so basically, the mohel, basically, he takes the newborn's penis and preferably without a clamp, the way you get to, us Christians get to do it, if you so are inclined to getting circumcised.
They have a tool for that.
They do it with a knife, you know, a blessed knife that they stick up a monkey's ass.
Oh, yeah.
That's a kosher monkey's ass.
Right.
Kidding. Mm-hmm. That's a joke. I don't want to offend any fucking rabbis out there. I know a few rabbis. But basically, they take...
Come on, they're cutting the skin off of people's penises. They got to have a little levity about that. Come on.
Dude.
What's your job? I just kind of do a little, take a little off the top. What? You know, he's like a penis barber.
Well, that's why I wanted Simon to call in, because Simon knows the...
The procedure. Well, I'm sure it happened to him. So
well, he knows
I don't know
the,
if he
religious,
remembers.
The religious. The religious. I mean, he's got firsthand. He studied in Israel. I mean, I'm circumcised because I guess my grandmother worked for a Jewish dude in the fashion industry district in New York. So I guess she thought that's the way to go, right?
Right.
Because according to religious law, according to the book of, let me see, I don't want to go all over the fucking place, but I'm probably going to. According to the book, as it's prescribed in the Torah, in the book of Genesis, yeah. as a mark of the covenant between God and the descendants of Abraham, this is the quote, throughout all generations, every male shall be circumcised when he is 8 days old. This shall be my covenant in your flesh, an eternal covenant. The uncircumcised male whose foreskin has not been chewed by Catholic priests. No, just joking.
That's a joke.
You're going to tell the joke. No.
Oh, you're going to make me tell it?
Yeah. The uncircumcised male whose foreskin has not been circumcised shall have his soul cut from his people. He has broken my covenant. And then in Leviticus, God spoke to Moses, telling him to speak to the Israelites. When a woman conceives and gives birth to a boy, on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Tell the joke.
Well, you know what they do with the rabbis do? No, who? What's the name of the guy?
Rabbis.
Okay, well,
Mohel. Which in many cases is a rabbi. Mm-hmm. What do the rabbis do with the cut foreskin after a circumcision, Rich?
Well, that's interesting because I did a little research and I found out that they sell them. They sell the foreskins to priests for chewing gum. It's a double whammy joke. See, it gets both parties.
Forget about Wrigley's gum, man. You got circumcision chewing bubble gum. That's hilarious, dude. I love that joke. That shit was funny. Made me think. I was wondering, where the fuck did my foreskin go? Anyway, but what's interesting about this, and we'll get into it when Simon calls, if he calls, is that the metzitsa be-pe ritual, basically, you need to...
So get to the draining of the blood part, because
right,
I didn't know about
right,
this. Really.
Right.
This is all new to me. Well, like, they drain the blood out of the foreskin, and then what? Like, do shots or what?
They mix it with vodka. You know what I mean? And they
happening?
Save it.
Then, no, what here's they do the blood is, of Christ. Let's go.
Well, what they do is they save the blood,
yeah. And
they freeze it. So when the kid is 13 or 15, when there's a bar mitzvah,
yeah. They
mix it with vodka, and they give it back to him. They call them blood low shots.
Yeah. Man.
No, but this is what's going on. So traditionally the Mohel uses a knife to circumcise the newborn.
Yeah.
Today, doctors and some non-Orthodox Nohalim use a perforating clamp before they cut the skin. The clamp makes it easier to be precise and shortens recovery time. Orthodox Mohalim have rejected perforating clamps, arguing that by crushing and killing the skin, it causes a great amount of unnecessary pain to the newborn, cutting off the blood flow completely, which according to Jewish law is dangerous to the child and strictly forbidden. And also renders the oraya, which is the foreskin, as cut prior to the proper ritual cut. So they're purists, right?
Yeah.
So basically, under Jewish law, mohel must draw blood from the circumcision wound. And this is where it gets a little complicated or a little controversial, right? This is what gets controversial.
This is like a horror movie, dude. I never knew about all this. Jesus.
Rink,
oh, my God.
Rink, the son of David, grandfather, grandson of Abraham, comes back in Blood of the Mohel, part 3. Rink.
Anyway, you talk about, like, our society being, like, just really bad, you know, like just horrific. And we got all these like horror movies and stuff. They were doing some pretty crazy shit for a long time.
Well, here's where it is.
I didn't know a lot of that. I just thought they did a little snip snip and put a Band-Aid on it. And then they sent you home.
Well, most of this stuff is done. If you're not an Orthodox Jew,
it's done in
a hospital.
Right.
Right. Unless, you know, it's optional. Right. So unless you're like, nah, I don't believe in that shit, then you have dangling meat.
Right.
So, but most mohels do it by hand with a suction device, right? So let's go back that. A mohel must draw blood from the circumcision wound. So most mohels do it by hand with a suction device. But some Orthodox groups use their mouth to draw blood after cutting the foreskin. So this is where the problem lies. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued a warning in 2012 about the health implications of this practice, citing 11 cases of neonatal HSV and two recorded fatalities. So, a review in 2013 of cases of neonatal HSV infections in Israel identified ritual circumcision as the source of HSV-1 transmission in 31.8% of the cases. Anyway, that's from Wikipedia. But this I wouldn't say an outbreak or an epidemic, but there were a couple of cases reported in New York.
Or if they had these laws in place or they followed these laws.
Well, they have these laws.
But if they followed these laws,
right.
then because the laws are there to protect the innocent, you know, or
to protect the welfare of the patient, of the specimen,
mm-hmm.
so of the kid or the baby, and
the baby has no say.
No, his parents.
The parents are, if they're Orthodox, they're going to be like,
right. So under the law, basically, I know it's in New York, and it's some of this stuff is in other states. I don't think it's a federal thing,
right.
But it's a local law.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the mohel has to get the family's consent sign a waiver if he practices under this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if they say, if the mohels or rabbis, whatever, say, I'm not subscribing to local laws bullshit, basically, they're not get the
they have protection
parents,
under the separation of church
right,
and state.
Right, and the parents don't have to sign any consent.
Right.
They have a verbal consent.
Mm-hmm.
Is Simon on the line?
Yo.
Simon's on the line. Simon's on the line.
Yo, what are we talking about, bro?
Yo, we're talking about this ridiculous...
We're talking about your foreskin.
Or crazy ritual that Orthodox Jews have called Metzitza Bepeh. Bepeh. Does that make sense to you, how I pronounce that?
Yes.
How do you pronounce that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Metzitza Bepeh. Peh means mouth.
Okay, yeah. Metzitza Bepeh ritual, which is the circumcision practice, a ritual in which the mohel has to draw blood from the circumcised penis. But some of these...
Very important.
Yeah, yeah. So some of these mohels are real Orthodox purists in which they don't do it with a suction device. They do it with their mouth. And as a result, there have been cases of HIV, herpes, being spread amongst newborn children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, here's the thing. First thing motherfuckers out there need to know about Jews and circumcision.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. It's none of your business.
Okay.
We got this.
Got it.
We've been doing this. No, listen.
I'm with you.
Something.
I'm with you.
Jews have been doing this practice for 3,500 years.
Right.
Which is longer than anything you're doing, anyone in America right now, anything you're doing... that you do in a daily, weekly, monthly basis.
Jews have perfected that shit. Jews have perfected that.
What?
No, I said anything that we've been doing recently, Jews have perfected that shit thousands of years ago.
What I'm saying is, mm-hmm. this is a custom that has gone on for think about that, 3,500 years.
No, I got
and
it.
In another 3,500 years, it'll still be going on.
Right.
Now,
but the issue...
Now, here's the thing. Okay? What anti-Semites like to do is, they like to make Jews look like demons. They like to demonize us. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And one of the things they use is circumcision, and it's not new. It's very new trend. A lot of people are bash Jews to make us sound barbaric as a circumcision, and how could you do this? It's mm-hmm. a very new trend, but it's not new.
Puerto Ricans circumcise their newborns also.
What?
Puerto Ricans circumcise their newborns also.
It caught on. It's a big trend.
I mean,
everybody's, not everybody, but a lot of people are doing it.
But go ahead. I mean, you're saying that
What I'm saying is, in 3,500 years from now, this will still be going on. I'm saying is that anti-Semites like to demonize Jews.
I get it.
They say things like, we have horns, or we drink the blood of Christian babies, or if you look at them in cartoons, we have hooked noses, and we look weird. You know, they try to make us look like demons, like we're these evil bloodsuckers, and they try to use circumcision as barbaric.
Hey, Simon.
So, now, if this is happening in a few isolated incidents, if you think of all the Jewish children who are circumcised on a yearly basis, and right. maybe three or four, a couple of them, this happened
right.
because someone didn't know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then I get it. But
yeah.
I can assure you, this is very tiny and very small.
It
and
is.
It's getting way too much press
it
because
is.
Of anti-Semitism.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. It is very. It's getting very
it's
small press.
It's also a funny story.
But I mean, it's educational. I never knew anything about no fucking mohels or the metzitsa bepe. I never knew anything about
Let me
that shit.
That. Circumcision, the responsibility for a Jew to circumcise your male child
yeah.
is the father's.
Right.
The father is the one that's supposed to perform the circumcision.
Right, correct.
Nowhere does it ever say, or does anyone ever say that it's a mohel's job or a rabbi's job to
right.
perform a circumcision.
Right.
It's the father's.
Right.
But...
Most fathers...
In most cases, the father is not skilled and doesn't know how or doesn't want to learn how.
Or doesn't want to do it.
I would want a professional doing it.
I've known people that went out and did learn how.
I want a little...
But,
I'd want somebody who's practiced in that.
But what about the practice? What about the practice of having to draw blood? You know what I'm saying? As a religious ritual.
I don't know the ins and outs of the practice. Another thing too is
where did you get circumcised through a McDonald's drive-through? So you just went in and out, and you don't know what happened.
I got circumcised by Rabbi Maimon in 1978, motherfucker. You better ask around about that.
Yeah.
Shit, dude. I'm just curious. I look in your girl's eyes and they're real eyes.
Yo, I'm just curious if you took that shit down the drive-through and got yourself a bag of super size. You know what I'm saying?
No, dude. Rabbi Maimon, dude. Fucking circumcised almost everybody from Alaska to Oregon to Washington. That man's been around.
He's been around.
He's got the market corner.
I got circumcised.
My dick was in that man's hand.
Yo, dude, I got circumcised by Rabbi Murray, so I know all about that shit. But I don't recall Rabbi Murray drawing blood from my cut cock through his mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the reality. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is something that a lot of people don't even think about. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A lot of these things we do in Judaism, whether it's kosher or whether it's the Sabbath or whether it's this, we don't even fully quite understand a lot of it.
That's hilarious.
I'm going to explain. Judaism is a mystical religion.
Right.
Okay. It is not a Western religion. It's
right.
not. People want to treat Judaism as if it's a Western religion. It's not. It never was.
Right.
It's an Eastern mystical religion
right.
which migrated west.
Right.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And over the course of a long time of history, we've lost a lot of certain traditions. Meaning, like, for example, Hinduism went through the same thing, okay?
Yeah.
Where certain parts and aspects we don't know anymore. You know,
right.
one of the things...
But Hindus don't suck the blood off of their newborn circumcised penises.
Let me tell you something.
Okay?
I can assure you Hindus do some real weird fucking practices.
Yeah, they do. They don't use deodorant.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's a different story.
Neither do the French. Listen, you know, I think everybody does some weird shit. Every culture, even if it's not religious-based, people do, like, have their weird
fucking rituals and all of
that shit.
But Simon...
They don't even need an excuse to do it.
But, Simon, I think the thing is that... And I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. If this is an orthodox religious practice, then... You know, I'm with you, man. You've been doing this shit for 35,000 or whatever the fuck years since Abraham fucking dropped the books. I got it. But... If you fast forward 35,000 years to the present, and you got cases that are affecting newborns with herpes, and then the herpes has to be treated in public hospitals or private hospitals where there are doctors that are regulated by the federal government and local laws,
sure.
then
Just get the guy tested. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's the issue. That's the issue. You got to get...
baby's getting the herpes.
You're most likely dealing with a case where the guy did not understand or know. Or you understand?
The mohel that's been passing on the herpes orally to the...
Once you find out you got herpes,
to the newborn,
game over.
To the newborn's circumcised penis is probably eating some black woman's ass, behind his wife's back.
Okay, but he probably did not know, number one. Number
that
two,
she had herpes in her ass?
You have to understand something. you know how you become a rabbi or a mohel? You know how you become? You pass a test.
You got to eat a black woman's ass?
You pass a test? Like, whoa. Like 2 years ago, my name was Joe. I used to sell crack. Now I sell blow. Like that type of test?
What I'm saying is, just because somebody says I'm a rabbi,
right,
it means they passed a test. It doesn't mean they're on a high spiritual level. Okay, there's a big difference between.
I get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody, you see what I'm saying?
I'm feeling you.
Just because somebody, the newspaper says a rabbi did this, that doesn't mean we're dealing with a really righteous person.
Right. He wasn't a righteous person. Right.
All
right.
So that's what I'm saying.
I get you.
And what I'm saying is, Hinduism had a revival. Okay.
Right.
With a lot of the yoga traditions.
It was called Bhangra. It's like house music, electro music, and Hindi music. It's like
boom, boom, boom.
I love those tunes, man. That's a good song.
That's
Yoga Sutra in a dusty library in the 20th century, start of the 20th century.
Right.
They found it at the bottom of a stack of books in a dusty library and realized, taking it to the foremost Hindu scholars in the world, they realized that this was a lost tradition. And when you go down the street to all these motherfucking yoga studios, that is a direct result of refinding that tradition.
I got it. And
what I'm saying is, the similar thing has happened in Judaism. People have to understand that. We lost 90% of our Jewish leaders in the Holocaust.
Right.
90%.
I get it.
The greatest rabbis in American history were the tippy-top bottom of their class. They were the bottom. They just happened to live and kept American tradition going.
Hey, listen.
We were such a vibrant tradition.
Hey, listen.
Europe.
I'm with you.
We lost 90% of the leaders.
I'm totally following what you're saying. What you're getting at was covered by a multi-part series on PBS by Bill Moyers. There was a series of interviews with Joseph Campbell where he did the hero's journey, and he basically said that the reason society and civilization is all fucked up is because we lost rituals that were passed on way back when, from tribes to family to society.
It's true, and we don't fully understand. You know, why do they keep the Sabbath? Jews believe that the seventh day has a different element to it. Like, people will believe that, you know, in astrology, that this day has a certain energy or element. That's what they believe with the Sabbath, that the seventh day has a different energy. Where
but let me ask you this.
Closer. What the fuck's that mean?
But let me ask you this.
Do people know what that means?
Let me ask you this.
You know, it doesn't. Nobody knows what it means.
So what? Let me ask you this. What's the deal? Okay, so you got these, what are they called? Mohals that are supposed to suck blood from a circumcised newborn's penis, but then you got Jewish girls that don't want to suck dick when they're given the proper opportunity. Explain
you
that.
Play basketball.
Explain
you
that.
Be a basketball
Explain
player
that mysticism to me, motherfucker. Explain.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Yo, I'd love to talk to you.
Yo, hold on before you go. Before you go. What do the rabbis do with the circumcised piece of meat after a circumcision? What do they do with it?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
They sell it to Catholic priests as chewing gum.
There you go.
Yo, big up, Simon! You motherfucker! Big the fuck up!
Yo, man, we miss you up here.
I want to give a bad shout out to Baxter's Bar and Grill in Mill Creek, Washington, where I'm about to go motherfucking ribbity wreck the mic here in a second. Thank you, guys.
Baxter's Barbecue Bar and Grill in fucking Washington. Big the fuck up. We'll talk soon, y'all. You know what I'm saying?
We'll
talk soon, y'all.
All right. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Yo, peace, man. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Chicky chat. That's my man Simon right there. Gotta give him a little outro music. You know what I mean? All right. Yeah, that shit tripped me out when I read about that.
I had no idea.
That was fucking.
And why should I? Because it sounds like it's a very it's a very secret type of, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do. And you know, I agree with him.
I agree with him
in the sense that, look, that's your thing. Then do your thing. You know, and if the parents are you know, willing to go into that.
If the parents are okay with it because their religion exactly. is. But then you have to ask, then you have to, you know, pose the questions, right? My peoples.
You reap
right?
what you sow. I mean, if you're going to trust somebody that you trust and then your kid gets herpes, well, you know, you trusted them and that's on you now.
But my peoples, right? My peoples, they come from a long lineage of African gods and shit like that, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're religious practices, right? We got Santeria, right? In which they fucking cut goats' throats and spray the blood all over the place. Then you have, I mean, that's a religious ritual. Mm-hmm. So then you have, like, you know, the local animal activist groups, so the ASPCAs or whatever, they're like, you can't be doing this shit.
Yeah.
You got the local authorities saying, you can't be having a goat in your fucking apartment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can go off, you know, what he's saying is makes a lot of sense about rituals. But then you have to ask yourself, or you have to take into consideration that we're not living 35,000 years ago. We're living right. now. You're living in modern day civilization. And
the things that you do, I mean, back then, you know, I mean, if you have a goat in your apartment now, that, you know, can bring on disease,
yeah.
noise, and all that. That's going to affect other people. And I agree with him with the whole tradition thing, you know, because how many people really sit down and eat dinner and you know, you take Saturday off. What do? You can't do anything. You can't operate anything mechanical or anything. You're forced to sit down and shut the fuck up and talk to your family or not shut the fuck
that's
up.
That's if you're white. My family, but got fucking kicked in the head and you had to go fucking eat. And if you didn't like it, you get the fuck to bed. Simple.
But
there weren't many white
items. It's like that's like a day when everybody just shuts down and they're forced to deal with each other and get to know each other. Nowadays, who sits down and has dinner together?
Right.
You see, who sits down around the table and asks, oh, how was your day and all that? You know, that's a learning time. That's bonding with your family. That's teaching right and wrong at the table.
Bonding with your family. Bonding with your family. Bonding with your fam. Yeah. That's a little crazy.
That's it.
That's a little crazy. You know what I'm saying? Gotta throw in a little that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, I've been getting I've been getting emails saying that we don't do enough big ups. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Big the fuck up, you cocksuckers. Big the fuck up, you orthodox penis lickers. Big the fuck up, you Hasidic circumcisional blood lickers and suckers. Gotta give a couple of shout outs to my people. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, there's Orthodox Jews in Puerto Rico. There's Orthodox Jews in Korea.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Everybody is everywhere. You're going to find one person of something or other, religion or creed or, you know.
I want to move on to some of the heavier topics that we were going to discuss.
Shit.
Like, you know, anyway, so, but on a lighter note, another light note, I just wanted to report that in New York City, in Queens, an MTA worker, you know, those guys that hand out, they used to hand out tokens for $1, and now you can't get tokens, but they hand out Metro cards. Actually, they don't even hand out Metro cards. You buy those at the machine.
Right. But they just stand there. They stopped paying them. They just been doing it for so long that they just showed up and continued.
Well, a lot of them. A lot of them on a contract, so they have to, you know, until they fucking die out all these motherfuckers that were hired at a certain point, then you have everything mechanical.
Right.
Plus, you have the union. Anyway, this guy, an MTA worker, has been arrested after he was allegedly caught masturbating in a subway token booth.
Yeah, it takes some time. It takes all kinds. Well, you know what? I blame his last
name. They should be performing circumcisions in the fucking token booth.
I blame his last name.
Harold Sisselman, right? He used to be a mahala. He used to be a moho. And then he stopped fucking sucking blood off of newborn circumcised penises. And he, instead of passing the rabbi test, he passed the Metropolitan Transit Authority's fucking map of New York City test.
He had to go somewhere.
Yeah. Anyway, he was basically 51 years old. He was arrested and charged with public lewdness for indecent for the incident.
Sometimes you gotta just rub one out, man. I mean, maybe he just had a rough day. He didn't have time. He just had to get it out.
The 22-year veteran of the MTA, he was caught by a strap hanger just before 11 p.m. on Tuesday.
But what's a strap hanger?
A strap hanger is a
person on the bus. Hanging by the strap?
The term strap hanger comes from passengers on the train or the bus. Before, there used to be straps that were hanging on poles.
Yeah, so that, they still have them, right?
Right. Well, they have them out of metal now. But that's basically you would hold on to those so you wouldn't fall over. Uh-huh. That's the term.
In Boston, they got the straps.
They still have straps at the
in Boston.
What is that called?
That's called the T.
Yeah. The T for underground tube where the train goes to.
Yeah, there's a lot of underwater traveling over there.
Yeah.
They're crazy.
Anyway, so he was caught at the 61st Street Station in Woodside. Personally, if I was going to jerk off in New York City and if I was the MTA token booth clerk, I would most likely jerk off in Times Square where there's a lot of ass walking by.
Right.
I mean, 61st Street Station of Woodside, there's not that much ass walking through
Here's the thing. This guy has probably been doing it for years. How long? 22 years he's been working there. He's probably been yanking that shit, and this is the first time he got caught. He had a good run.
The strap hanger wanted to ask for directions when he allegedly came upon Sisselman. I think it was the other way around. I think Sisselman came upon him. No? Oh, my fucking God. You know what? We got a lot of fucking heavy-duty shit. I wanted to get in on the... Well, first of all, we have about, 25 fucking minutes on the show, and I have a lot of heavy-duty shit to go on. And I don't want to get sidetracked. And so let's just do this. So, as you know, about a week or so ago, a week and a half ago, there was nude photographs that were put online, and it was attributed to a possible breach of an iCloud, which is basically a storage server somewhere in fucking, you know, Sisselman's asshole, depending on where he's at that particular time of day. But basically, we all do this. Your phone's being backed up to a mysterious backup device somewhere on somebody's server, and you don't know where it is, and you don't know how much of your information is susceptible to somebody, you know.
How many Snowdens do they have working down there, you know, that are rooting through your shit? You don't know, and that's not, your shit isn't guarded like the shit at the NSA or the CIA or FBI.
Even at the NSA or the FBI.
Obviously.
I mean, if you crack this shit right, you can get into anything. I mean, none of it is as safeguarded as your old mom and dad's naked pictures that they used to have in the nightstand, right?
And thank God I didn't come across those, because I probably wouldn't be sitting here. I'd be in a loony bin or something.
Yeah. Well, I think Sisselman had a bunch of those. That's why he's all fucked up. But anyway, apparently Jennifer Lawrence, as you know, Academy Award winning young, she's about, 20-something years old. She's probably one of the youngest Academy Award winners.
Probably.
I guess next to Shirley Temple, right? Did Shirley Temple win an Academy Award? We'll have to Google that. I'm not sure.
You want me to Google that?
No, it's all right.
Get on that? Anybody?
She probably did win an Academy Award, and I don't know at what age, but I think Jennifer Lawrence is in her 20s.
Yeah.
Regardless, relatively young age.
Yeah.
She was 24. Yeah, 24. Oh, she didn't win. Okay, so then that doesn't matter. But I'm sure some young, privileged fuck actor back in the 30s won an Academy Award. Somebody did. Tiny Tim or somebody. I know that. She won. So then that's the Academy Award for little toddlers, probably. Anyway, Jennifer Lawrence. My thing about Jennifer Lawrence, and this has happened to many, many celebrities. Yeah. Number one, why the fuck are you taking naked pictures
of
yourself and then putting them up anywhere?
You're in the crosshairs of the public eye. I mean, everybody wants to see you naked. People, like, Sisselman's fucking, he was probably had her in mind, you know, when he was fucking jacking off down there. But that's the thing is, like, you don't do that when you know. I mean, you have your right to privacy and all of that. Well, but you know what? You got to be smart about
it. Dude,
you got to be fucking smart about it.
Take a naked picture of your penis, your girlfriend's ass or whatever on your phone. Take it.
Take a Polaroid and keep that in your fucking.
I'm saying. It's in your phone. It's on your storage device, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your phone is randomly being fucking uploaded. Anybody has access to the files on your phone.
Yeah.
Not anybody, but your files on your phone are easily accessible, I should say, by hackers.
Yeah.
In fact, listen.
Hey, that's a nice segue.
Yeah. Hackers.
No. The towers.
Let me finish. We'll get into the towers in a second. Definitely good segue. But Look at the, if you have an iBook or a MacBook Pro, whatever, there's a little black dot there for all you fucking nincompoops. There's a little black dot there on the top. That's a fucking video camera. You remember the days of cyber sex where you used to fucking jerk off to some unsuspecting Hindu fucking guy that was posing as a woman on the other side of fucking the globe?
Well,
that camera there could technically be remotely turned on.
Oh, yeah.
By a hacker,
mm-hmm.
and they can watch everything that's in your house, technically speaking.
Yeah.
So I'm just giving you a perfect example that nothing's really safe. I mean, you have to know how you can be hacked and how vulnerable you actually are, and then take precautionary steps to try to avoid as many of those as possible.
I'm really surprised as such of a megalomania. You know, as megalomania grabs hold of people through Facebook and YouTube and all of that, I'm really surprised because people think that they are the center of the universe.
Right.
I'm really surprised that more people don't put a piece of tape on the you know, because
I have a big black dick picture mm-hmm. that I fucking put like with a long piece of hanger.
Yeah.
So when they look at it, it looks like a dangling cock from the camera.
I have a naked picture of myself hanging in front of it. For those of you
that don't have the visual, basically, if you have your iBook or your MacBook Pro, I basically string a long piece of wire coming, protruding from the top of my computer slightly above that video camera there, mm-hmm. and I have a dangling picture of Mandingo's ball sack, so that if you want to turn on your camera while I'm doing my thing, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, as you said.
No, but I'm just really surprised, you know, and these people especially, I mean, these people really are in the public eye, you know?
Right.
I mean, they should know better. Somebody should tell them.
Oh, God. Oh, God, I love to suck on this.
Just for that?
This is Michael Chiklis, and you're listening to Nestorius Public Radio.
Which, by the way, as a segue, Michael Chiklis is going to be playing the strong man in the new season 4 of American Horror Story, which I am so fucking jonesing to watch that shit. Did you?
Really?
I smoked.
And I couldn't.
I know you don't like it.
I don't like it. It just didn't grab me.
I know.
The horror thing.
That was just a public service announcement.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's a great show. It's just not
It doesn't matter. I just wanted to say that. He's playing the strong man. That's all. That's my
Chiklis?
Boy. Chiklis. That's my
awesome.
Boy.
Now I'll watch it, actually.
That's
probably
my boy.
Watch it
That's my boy. That's
I
my
definitely boy. Will watch it now.
Hey, listen, if you want to watch, I know you don't like the series, but if you want to watch one of the series, go watch the second, Asylum.
Yeah?
And just fucking commit to it, dude.
All right.
Dude, commit to it. That was my favorite. A lot of people like, you know, the Coven. Women like the Coven.
Mm.
And a lot of people like the first one, American Horror Story. But watch the second one.
Okay.
Just commit to it, dude.
All right.
It's on Netflix fucking.
I'm on it.
So, segue that we had before that I missed an opportunity to do a segue. Let me get back to it right now, which is the mysterious cell phone towers.
Now, this is some shit that this affects everybody.
This is some shit. So,
because, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, the mysterious fake cell phone towers, and they're intercepting calls all over the U.S. So, check this out.
Check
17 fake cell phone towers were discovered across the U.S. last week, according to a report in Popular Science, not a shitty magazine. That is a real deal magazine.
Yeah.
Rather than offering you cell phone service, the towers appear to be connecting to nearby phones, bypassing their encryption, and either tapping calls or reading texts.
Mm-hmm.
Les Goldman, the CEO of ESD America, used mm-hmm. ESD's CryptoPhone 500 to detect these 17 bogus cell phone towers.
CryptoPhone!
Oh, man. So,
you know how much a CryptoPhone costs?
No.
Like about $5,000. It looks like a fucking Samsung Galaxy 4 or 5S.
Right.
But it's a device that company has developed mm-hmm. to find out what's going on.
Thank goodness. So interceptor use of the U.S. is much higher than people had anticipated.
Right.
One of our customers took a road trip from Florida to North Carolina. He found 8 different interceptors on that trip. Okay. They even found one at South Point Casino in Las Vegas.
Right.
Maybe the mob is down there. They want to, you know,
Here's the thing. No one, and the fucked up part about it is that the U.S. government doesn't even know who these fucking interceptor towers.
Right, they just put them up.
Who put them up?
Right.
They don't even know.
It's not the NSA,
right? It's not the NSA. Right. It's not the NSA. First of all, for you dimwits out there, the NSA does not need to put fucking towers up to intercept your calls or your texts. They can go directly to the carrier. Mm-hmm. They have access to Sprint, whoever the fuck, cock-a-doodle-doo in India, cell phone service.
They have a direct line. They're I'd like to look at Rich's shit.
Right. They have access to intercepting that. But what they do, they basically, these towers, what they do is they crush down the performance of your phone from 4G to 2G while the intercept is taking place. So basically you see...
That's how they give them away. So, away. Yeah.
Well, so if you see your phone like dwindling down from a 4G or a 3G then to a 2G, hang up the phone or don't text your fucking naked pictures, Jennifer Lawrence, you stupid cock wallowing.
That's how they got
hooker.
It. They just blamed Apple because, you know, to throw them off.
Yeah.
But she stopped by one of the, they probably put one of those towers up outside her house.
Well, here's what's interesting though. Then I read another article that police departments in a handful of U.S. cities have been operating Stingray or Hailstorm towers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is similar to these, but they're authorized by Department of Homeland Security, right?
Yeah.
To be used by local police departments. And basically, what they do is they conduct surveillance on mobile phone activity. And they do that again by jamming the mobile phone signals, forcing your phone to drop down from a 4G or 3G network band
to 2G.
2G is the equivalent of an analog fucking line as far as digital security is concerned,
right?
Analog lines, for those dimwits of you that don't know, back in the fucking day, telecommunications used to run through copper lines, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, voice and data and text. You remember back in the AOL days? You got mail. Took five fucking years to download a naked tit.
Porn was really tough back then. Seriously, man.
Yeah.
When I got my fucking high speed, oh my God.
So anyway,
that was the end of it.
So anyway, basically they jam it down to 2G.
Yeah, which is less secure and it's easier for them to access all your shit.
They make your phone more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is a lesson to everybody today that if you're getting a bad signal and you drop down to 2G, then turn your shit off or get the fuck out of Van Nuys. Because there is no fucking signal in fucking Van Nuys.
There is none.
No, man. No. There's no 4G. And it's like it's in pockets. You got to stand next to the tree or the light post, you know, stand on the top.
That's right. When you get a 2G signal, that's what you got to do. Then, all right, here we go. Big up. Let me give big up.
Oh.
Big the fuck up to all you cock-licking motherfuckers that be trying to steal my signal. Guess what? My cock!
All they're going to get are all the naked pictures of Jennifer Lawrence that I downloaded
phone. Which, by the way, I was doing research for the show, and I was wondering what fucking naked pictures of Jennifer Lawrence and Rihanna were up there. I couldn't find one.
Yeah, you couldn't find one.
You can't find one.
Did you
find one?
I didn't find them. I didn't really look, to be honest with you. But
meanwhile,
my buddy looked, and he couldn't find them. But he had a friend who got them for him, apparently, because he does that shit or whatever.
Whoa.
So he showed them to me really quick. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, take a look. And, you know, they are not pictures that you would want.
Really?
Really? They're pretty graphic.
Really?
I was like, holy shit.
Really? You actually got to see them.
I did
because
see them,
basically,
yes.
Because basically, what I read was that the Google search for Jennifer Lawrence's naked pictures were ridiculous. Were like in the fucking troglodyte fucking shit. It was so ridiculous that there's no numerical name for it.
Right.
Right? So they should have, my suggestion is this, look, this is what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
They should take Jennifer Lawrence's pictures, attach them to a GED high school equivalency diploma application, and then when they Google fucking Jennifer Lawrence's naked pictures, it'll redirect it to the fucking Board of Education, the local Board of Education, GED department, and maybe you stupid motherfuckers could get yourself a fucking equivalency diploma and don't have to take naked pictures. That's what I say.
That's awesome. That's the best idea of the night. That's the best idea of the night.
You know what I'm saying?
Just anytime anybody...
Don't hide the naked pictures.
Now, that should be a standard in this country. Right. That should be a new tradition. That if you look up... If you're looking up something that you shouldn't be looking up, it just sends you to...
To get
your diploma site.
To something useful.
Or ITT Tech.
Or how to get properly circumcised if you're Jewish.
Exactly.
Something useful.
Fucking something. A Wikipedia page. Something where you're going to learn something. That's a brilliant idea. That's forced education right there.
Forced knowledge, you dimwits. But anyway, let me get to something. What I did find, and I went to Reddit, because initially those photos were put up on Reddit is what happened. Reddit is a website where you read. I didn't even know what the fuck it is. I heard of it. Anyway, so what was there, what I did found was a GIF, which looked like a video of her topless, basically jiggling her tits. And I'm like, where the fuck are you jiggling your tits? And how does somebody have access to this? You know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
That's the thing, you know.
Anyway, listen.
I don't know. These kids today,
it's ridiculous.
They just think they're not vulnerable.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's ridiculous
because they're told that. You know what the thing is though is that Apple, Google, Yahoo, they all have these cloud storage things, and they all tell you how safe it is
and how their encryption and all that.
You know, it's partly their fault because
it's not.
They're misleading.
I want to get to the next kind of funny newsworthy.
What is more funny than circumcision?
Well, here.
You should have left that for the end.
You know what's more funny than circumcision? Buying a one-way ticket to New York City.
Yeah.
A red-eye flight.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And you reclining your seat. Right, just about when the ladies and gentlemen, the pilot has turned off the no smoking signal, and now you can be free to walk about the cabin and feel free to recline your seats. What is what's funnier is this: you try to recline your seat, and some douchebag behind you has this device called a knee defender, which basically are two fucking clips that you can buy. I'm not going to tell you where. Fuck you. Okay, because I fly a lot, right?
How many times have you tried to put the seat back?
Dude.
You got the knee defender, motherfucker.
So basically, there's these clips that some 6 foot tall motherfucker invented, and he sells them online for $22.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, caller.
Hey, what's up?
Yo, what's up, Baba? How you doing? are you listening to the show?
Yeah, I just think that, everything that ends up leaked online, I think the thing about everything online, on the internet, is that it's read, it's watched, it's planned. It seems like it's by accident.
I agree.
It's all publicity. All manipulated.
I agree.
Somebody is making money.
I agree.
If something gets out there and it's tweeted and looked at a million times.
I agree.
Making money from that, and it's usually the person who sees it.
I agree.
I would agree, but the picture that I saw, unfortunately, that I saw of Jennifer Lawrence is not. There were other pictures she would probably rather have put out.
I agree.
This was extremely graphic.
But you don't take pictures like that and put yourself in uncomfortable.
This was extremely graphic.
Yeah.
If you look at how things go, they become more and more and more graphic. So everyone's always trying to out.
They're trying to raise the bar. Is always raised, so they got to try and raise it more.
But listen,
I get it.
If it seems accidental, then they get to look good.
Right.
And somebody.
They're the victim.
But listen, we've moved on to the next topic, and I'm glad you're on the line because I'd love to get your opinion on it. Did you read about or hear about this thing, this knee defender thing, that they're clips that you put on the tray table behind the seat of the passenger in front of you, and it basically limits how far they can recline or if they can recline at all? Are you familiar with this shit?
Not really.
Well, you travel a lot, right? So basically, about 2 weeks ago, these two fucking knuckleheads on a United Airlines flight going to Denver, I guess from New York or whatever, they got into a fight mid-flight where the guy behind this woman put the knee defender on his tray table and prevented the woman in front of him her seat from reclining. So she basically said to him, do you mind taking that off? Apparently, I'm pretty sure I know I have been on a flight where I'm trying to recline my seat and the seat doesn't go back. So most of us think, it's broken, right? Well, now take heed. Get up, make believe you're going to the bathroom and you'll see these two fucking clips. Google it. It's called Knee Defender, K-N-E-E Defender. Google it. You'll see what it is. But basically, she got up and she said, could you please take that off? And he basically refused. And apparently, she threw water on his face and they got into a fight.
It's actually a soda.
It was
she
a
actually
soda.
Throws soda.
Right. The first report was water. And, he said it was actually soda.
I hope you brought your checkbook because you just threw soda all
on
over
my laptop.
$2,500 laptop whatever.
So they get into a fucking fight and the flight got diverted to Chicago. They had to land. They got the two knuckleheads off the plane and, then the flight took off again to go to Denver, which is ridiculous. But, I mean, you've told me... By the way, this is Rosemary Rodriguez, director, producer extraordinaire of one of the newest feature-length films that are going to be blasting fucking theaters across America not too long from now, called Silver Skies.
Big up to Silver Skies.
You know what I mean? And
Big the fuck up.
Big up Silver Skies. Yeah.
Big the fuck up to Silver Skies, man. Big up to George Hamilton, Jack McGee. Big up to Rosemary Rodriguez. Yeah, so because we're talking and shit, nobody even knows who you are. Although by now, most of my Nestorius Public Radio listeners, they know your voice. They know your voice. But
well, I think that the airline should hire the guys that invented that device because they obviously have better ideas about how to be a passenger on a plane because the way the airlines have set it up. You have no room.
Right.
Everyone's uncomfortable.
Right.
They herd you in like cattle. They barely clean it.
Right.
So if anyone has ingenious ideas of working around the misery that is called flying right now, then they should hire them.
Yeah.
And get
done. Well, Coach now is like a fucking, it's basically Greyhound, which is a crackhead method of transportation on wings. That's all it is. You know what I mean? The fucking bathrooms.
Greyhound's better. Greyhound's actually nicer. They have TVs.
They are. But you're right. You're right about that. But I mean, the airlines, well, first of all, the FAA, who regulates the friendly skies, does not have any laws against this knee defender. But most U.S. airlines have forbidden it. Now, the manufacturer of the knee defender, basically what they do is there's a courtesy card that comes with it. And you're supposed to tell the passenger in front of you, hi, my name is David Douchebag. I'm sitting behind you, and I want you to know I have a knee defender, and with your permission, I'd like to limit the amount that you recline. And of course,
I'd
the
like
person
to limit
in front,
the amount of comfort you have on right, this well, fucking 6-hour flight to the East Coast.
But the person in front
bastards.
Can say no or whatever, and then they have to take it off. But the argument comes up. There you go. The argument comes up, which basically says, do you have the right to the space in front of your knees, right? As much as does the person in front of you have the right to recline their seat? So, you know, there's a big debate now, like whether any seats should be allowed to recline. You know what I mean? Which is what you said was... I'm with you. The airlines should have to fucking revamp their shit because, you know, back in around 2000, which, by the way, before I forget, 9/11, today is September 11th, and in memoriam to all the people that were lost at the World Trade Center site, you know, Nestorius Public Radio, Rich Corbin, Nestor Rodriguez, Simon Kaufman, and all the people here at Skid Row Studios, we'd like to, you know, give a shout out to all of you amazing souls that had to leave us unexpectedly and so short, because I know that, you know, you're all missed here on Earth. But, you know, ever since 9/11, 2001, and the high price of oil and gas with the planes, they started decreasing the space. You know, they took away an extra, they added an extra row of seats, so therefore they shortened all the space on technically existing rows on all aircrafts, they started charging you for fucking bags. Remember, that was just something that they started doing just to offset the cost of gas, because not that many people were traveling right after September 11, 2001. But technically speaking, after the fucking, you know, a year or two after 9/11, air travel, as you know, fucking skyrocketed. There's more fucking people flying an airline than anywhere else, and they're not decreasing their charges. In fact, some airlines now charge you for overhead bin space, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I mean, I think part of the whole thing is they should charge you to use the toilet. They should fucking, you know, give you tokens, like Chuck E. Cheese tokens when you get, you know, you have to buy your fucking the headsets. Remember when they used to give those things free?
Dude, they used to give everything to you. They give you their little wings for the kids and all that stuff. Yeah. You know what? I think to reduce the cost, they should, you know, because gas and oil is really expensive.
Yeah.
I think perhaps that maybe they should design an airplane I think Toyota should design one, a Prius airplane.
Who are you guys flying with?
What's that?
Who are you flying with?
I fly with everybody. I fly with Delta. I fly with American.
Delta gives free everything.
Delta don't give you free shit.
I
in
get
coach?
A free blanket.
In coach?
What's the regular seating?
Coach.
Okay, that.
Yeah.
I get blankets. Well, I get headphones. I get food.
You get food? No, you have to pay for that.
No, well,
that's Jenny, my engineer.
Sorry,
my engineer.
I didn't mean
that. No, I love when you train. No, first of all.
I guess you're right. They charge you in the fees.
No, they charge you. They'll give you headphones if you pay for them. But here's the thing. You can't bring, they don't, first of all, they stopped feeding people on the airlines because it was costing too much money to the airlines. And the food sucked. Also, after 9/11, they didn't want knives and forks and everybody having them in coach. But here's the deal. If you fly first class, which I've had the privilege of doing a couple times, they give you a little knife. They give you a fork.
Yeah, you get a ceramic plate.
They give you a ceramic plate. They give you a little salt and pepper shaker. Now, so if, this is for you terrorists out there, right? So if you're planning on attacking the United States of America, here's what you do. You buy a fucking first class ticket, and they'll gladly hand you a knife, a utensils, a kit, and some salt and pepper. So here's what you do. You get the douchebag next to you in first class, the business guy who's talking endlessly on his fucking cell phone to his fucking cohorts at Apple or Google. You take some of that salt and the pepper and you shoot it in his fucking eye, make him cough, and then you jab him in the fucking neck with your filet mignon knife that they just gave you on the fucking friendly skies of American Airlines. You know what I mean? Are you still there, Rosemary?
I'm listening.
Anyway, listen, our time's up. Listen, thank you for calling. I really enjoyed your voice.
Hey, guys, did a great show. Great job, by the way.
Oh, thank you. And definitely, Jennifer Lawrence, stop fucking around, all right? Put your clothes back on.
You're hot.
And
you don't have to take pictures of
if
it.
If somebody
Jesus.
Puts a knee defender behind my seat, I'll ask him very nicely, would you mind taking that off my seat? And if you don't, I'll jump up, grab the fucking overhead bin space, and I'll fucking come down on your table so hard. Then not only will your computer, your fucking tall, white, privileged ass, the whole thing will come crashing down on you. All right?
You just give him a courtesy.
Yo, Thursday night, iTunes, go do it, motherfuckers. Holla.
Shit, so y'all gotta encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit, so y'all gotta.